Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 53 degrees and overcast. Today's Wednesday, July 25th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. An increase in Sitka's moorage rates for harbor users will move forward, but it's been massively scaled back. The Sitka Assembly last night advanced only the first year of a five-year plan to increase rates. The move came despite a long report that shows urgent maintenance needs in the city's harbors. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
At the beginning of the meeting, the Assembly received the Harbor Master Plan. The document lays out repairs needed in 16 harbor facilities owned by Sitka. Some of the repairs, like a new roof for the Crescent Harbor net shed, need to happen in the next couple years. Others, like new bathrooms at the O'Connell Bridge, could wait until 2062. But the Assembly also heard from Harbor Maintenance Supervisor Ron Pratt. He warned the Assembly that urgent repairs are needed to the Eliason Harbor transient float. Many of the chains underneath are starting to fail.
The problem is, if you don't replace them and they fail, the strain of the opposing chain is going to pull it. Those rubber donuts that you saw, it's going to break those brackets. It's going to peel apart. We're going to have a 100,000-pound module floating around. And if it's got boats tied to it, we got a big problem.
The overall point of the presentation was that the harbors need work and the city needs a way to pay for it. And that is where the rates come in. The master plan recommends increases over the next 5 years. For permanent moorage, the fee goes from $190 per foot per month to $5.56 per foot per month by 2017. The rates across the board for permanent and transient moorage increase nearly 200% over 5 years under the plan. Or rather, they did. The Assembly made a change.
I know we have to raise rates. I mean, we've known that for a while. However, I'm not comfortable with doing 5 years at once.
Assemblymember Tor Christensen.
I don't like the fact that we don't take into account any significant state funding out beyond a couple of years. And reality is we will get state funding, whether it's through this current program or other ways or direct appropriations or whatever, there will be, because we have legislators and they want us to be happy.
Sitka resident Steve Weckel did not like that change. He said the Assembly is not paying enough attention to the needs of the Harbor Department.
And then we sit in here like this and go, well, I think we should lower the rates this much and do this and that and everything. That's a bunch of bull. You guys should bite the bullet, get off the dime, and take care of business.
Assemblymember Mike Reif, who proposed only approving 1 year of the plan, objected to the notion that the Assembly was kicking the can down the road.
It's saying we stopped kicking the can down the road, and now we're going to look at that can real carefully. This study did some great groundwork for us, but it also has assumptions that we need to look at. We also need to fine-tune it a bit, and that doesn't mean necessarily cutting the rates. That amendment is saying we want to accept that study for year one. Now we as a community want to look at that study.
There was also an unsuccessful push to get the measure put off until October. Fishermen, including the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, told the Assembly that they wanted a chance to weigh in after summer fishing was complete. But others disagreed, including Sitka resident Jim Steffen.
The community has known this has been coming for years and years and years. They've known this is. It's not like anybody's in the dark about this.
Steffen is also on the Raven Radio Board of Directors. He said this plan simply brings Sitka up to date on its harbor rates, which are long overdue for an increase. And he said it does not make sense to review the rate increases annually before they're approved, instead of approving all 5 years at once.
And you've had commission members year after year bring this to your table, and you've put it off and put it off, and now you're going to say, well, they're going to review it every year, so that'll make it all right. Well, if you haven't listened to them for 13 years, what makes you think you're going to listen to them next January?
The measure to postpone failed, and the adoption of 1 year of rate increases moved forward. The Assembly will next consider this issue at its August 14th meeting. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can link to the Harbor Master Plan with this story at our website, kcaw.org. An advisory question on October's ballot asking voters whether they want a cruise dock near downtown will move forward, but it's not headed for the ballot just yet. The Assembly advanced the question on first reading. It will still need another look before it goes to voters. A handful of people testified about the proposal at last night's Assembly meeting. Sheila Finkenbinder urged the Assembly to get the measure on the ballot.
Sitka's economy does need help. We all know that. We're always having discussions about raising fees and raising taxes. Assuming that the research is correct and more people will get off a cruise ship when it's docked downtown, then we know that that translates to more people buy more goods in town, which is helpful for our downtown merchants and tour operators, as well as the increased sales tax revenue that will be collected by the city to be used on anything and everything the city needs.
Finkenbinder's comments lined up with downtown retailer Eugene Solovyov, who owns the Sitka Rose Gallery with his wife. But opinions varied even among the half dozen people who testified. Jerry Hope, speaking as president of the Chamber of Commerce, urged the Assembly to wait until next year to put it on the ballot after more research was done. And Chris McGraw, whose company built a cruise dock at the north end of Halibut Point Road, said if the city built a dock, it would be competing with private industry. No cruise ship has visited the dock yet, but McGraw says he's working on attracting a vessel, hopefully next year. He predicted voters would reject a downtown dock.
If it gets voted down, the ultimate headline will read, Sitka says no to cruise ships. And I don't think that's the message that Sitka needs to be putting out in the current economic times while we're trying to attract visitors and additional sales tax revenues to our town.
Assembly members moved the measure forward on a 5-2 vote, but they didn't do so enthusiastically. Even some of the yes votes, like Pete Esquiro, said they didn't want to kill the conversation by voting no, but couldn't guarantee their support at the next meeting. Phyllis Hackett was one of the no votes on the measure. She had concerns about the way the question was phrased.
A breakwater with direct access to the Centennial Hall complex in an effort to help reduce local fees and harbor rates? I mean, is that why we're doing it, to reduce local fees and harbor rates? No, if we're going to do it, we're doing it to hopefully bring in more sales tax. Does that mean that that sales tax is going to reduce local fees or harbor rates? No, it doesn't mean that at all.
Mim McConnell joined Hackett's no vote. She said much of the language was fluff and wanted to see it clarified. It comes up for discussion next on August 14th. Last night's Assembly meeting is technically still going on. The Assembly ran out of time to complete its agenda last night and called a recess instead of adjournment. Members are expected to reconvene tonight at 6 p.m. inside the conference room on the third floor of City Hall. The remaining items on the agenda include a resolution supporting the state in a lawsuit against the EPA. The state is suing the Federal Environmental Agency over a new regulation on fuel and an executive session to receive a legal briefing about Sitkins for Responsible Government. A Brooklyn-based author plans to spend the summer doing research on third-world poverty inside the U.S. Ross Perlin is one of 8 Sitka fellows living on the Sheldon Jackson campus in July and August. This is the first year of the program designed to foster visionary thinking in young people under 30. If he's successful, Third World Next Door will be Perlin's second major book. Statistics are only a part of his story. Perlin says he's going on the road.
What I'm ultimately envisioning is a kind of political travel log. It'll have the feeling almost of travel writing, but with a kind of urgency and, you know, not just a jaunt, not just a kind of, you know, not just travel for travel's sake, but, you know, travel in search of these stories, talking to people, seeing what people's lives are like.
In his bio for the Sitka Fellows Program, Perlin describes a few places he refers to as the third world inside America's borders. Infant mortality in Memphis is higher than in Syria or Libya. Life expectancy on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota is comparable to sub-Saharan Africa. This is a reversal in economic dynamics that goes beyond household income.
And not just poverty, also, you know, environmental depredation, housing issues, education issues, areas where here in the United States we're now demonstrably reaching third world levels in certain respects, just as the traditional third world has been progressing a great deal over the last couple of decades through their economic development policies.
Perlin calls it the geography of hardship. Economic statistics and census tracking are just a way in, a way for the quantitative to lead to the qualitative.
I think it's not enough to be sort of riding through a car, riding along in a car at 50 miles an hour and looking out the window and saying, oh, that's a blighted area, that's third world over there. what you have to do is you get the background information, you gather the statistics and other information that's available, you talk to people, you spend time with people, and then, you know, from that a picture will emerge of what hardship actually really looks like.
Although Sitka is not a part of his study, Perlin says the community illustrates why it is so important that his research take place on the ground. From the glittering ballroom of a cruise ship anchored in the harbor, Sitka's waterfront is an odd mix of well-tended historic properties, trailer homes, working watercraft of all kinds, some barely afloat, and industry. Even with the occasional mega-yacht, the town is no Saint-Tropez. Unless, Perlin says, you ask someone who lives here.
Your eyes can tell you a story that doesn't necessarily add up to what people are actually feeling in a community. And that's an important reason to actually spend time talking to people, understanding kind of how people see it from the inside.
Perlin says he's not a social scientist. He double majored in East Asian studies and classics at Stanford and studied for his master's degree at Cambridge on a Marshall scholarship. He lived for 3 years in China while in school. Perlin, at 29, is the self-described graybeard of the Sitka Fellows program. He broke out on the national scene recently with his book, Intern Nation, How to Earn Nothing and Learn Little in the Brave New Economy.
I'm not an intern abolitionist by any means. The book I wrote was meant to and did kind of stimulate a national conversation just about, you know, the way that we train young people, the way we transition from the classroom into the workplace. And internships have really become, you know, this sort of key gateway, a virtual prerequisite to get into the white-collar world, which is increasingly where people kind of need to be for high-level jobs and jobs that pay well. But there are excesses in that system, and, you know, I think there are some aspects of internships we need to question, particularly, you know, they're being unpaid and lacking certain legal protections. But there are places that are doing it well and that can serve as models.
Perlin says he considered many options around the country for a residency this summer, but he thought coming to Sitka was a way to be both inside America and a little on the outside.
This is KCAW in Sitka.